Right, if we can turn in the book of Genesis this morning, easy book to find right at the start of the Bible, the book of Genesis. And in particular, Genesis chapter 5. Probably don't hear much of this chapter read normally, so it would be a good opportunity to read a few verses. Genesis chapter 5, and I want to read 1 through 24. In fact, I might even read the whole chapter just so we get a blessing. Amen. Genesis chapter 5, the book of beginnings. Genesis 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Amen. I want to also read for us this morning from the Karen Bible, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John and chapter 1, verse 9, which in Quran says, "De yua asadu de asapor qui. Bemi de loglelo ber ta debador. Aweda a girlu do welu where. Dithu a gerbla gui ble ta debador. Thiso qui wa le gerje. Ta urta tho ke lo." 1 John 1:9. sea blue you are. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, the Word of God that we've been able to read, Lord, in this public way. And Father, we pray for your blessing to be upon us. Thank you again for each and everyone who's come out this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would be pleased just to bless our time in your Word so that your will would be accomplished in each of our lives. Father, if there are anybody here this morning who's not saved, they don't have a testimony of salvation, that, Lord, any questions they may have may be answered and they may come to that place of rest and trust in the Lord Jesus this day. May God's people be blessed, we pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis chapter 5, as I said, that's not a chapter. Probably read that often in the scriptures, but it's a great chapter. And it tells us a lot of things that help us. For example, people ask the question, where did Cain get his wife? That's a fairly common, cynical, a doubting question that people ask. And the answer is in verse 4 of this chapter. The days of Adam after he'd begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And Cain married one of his sisters. I'm not going to take time to prove how that was possible and why it was possible, but that was the reality of it. There was only Adam and Eve, and from Adam and Eve, because Eve was the mother of all living, came all mankind. We notice here also that men lived to a very long age back then. And it's one of the reasons, I guess, why people scoff and laugh and say, well, look at that. You don't believe that, do you? They lived to 960 and they lived to 900. In fact, Methuselah, 969, the oldest man who's ever lived on the earth. You don't believe that? Yes, do. Yes. The world was a different world than Peter in 1 Peter tells us, the world that was and the world that now is. It's quite a different world since the flood. And back in those days, they lived to a long age. They were very close to the time when God created man who could have lived on planet Earth if there'd been no sin. But because of sin, then one man's sin, death entered into the world. And we notice after everyone except one person mentioned there, and he died. And he died, and he died, and he died. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Paul wrote. And so we find, although they lived to great ages, they still died. They still died. The consequences of sin. Death passed upon all men. This morning I want us to look particularly at Enoch. We'll use him as our starting point. Enoch, the Bible says there in verse 21, Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. His father in the previous verse was Jared. Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And the Bible says there that Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And so Enoch was living the life back then, but at the age of 65, something special happened in his life. Number one, he had a son, his wife had a son at least, called Methuselah. Methuselah means, the idea is, when he has come, it will be finished. And Methuselah was God's object lesson to the world, that one day he was going to bring judgment upon the world. When that man dies, the judgment will fall. And so it did in Noah's day. The Bible says Enoch walked with God, but at 65 years is when he began that walk with God. In other words, before he wasn't walking with God. Up until he was 65, he wasn't walking with God. Now, something happened. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly what took place in Enoch's life, but whatever it was obviously very significant, because from that time, the Bible says he walked with God, and he walked with God for 300 years until God said, that's enough. And God took him out of the world, took him to be with himself. God translated him, the Bible says. And so at the age of 65, something took place in his life and he began to walk with God. For you and I, we begin our walk with God at a particular point in time. You know, you hear people say, well, I've always been a Christian. That is not so. People are not born Christians. And on it goes. All sorts of things that people say. No, our walk with God begins at a particular point in time. So I want us to think this morning about a walk with God and ask you the question, do you have a daily walk with God? Enoch had a walk with God from the age of 65 through until 365. He walked with God. Now you think about human relations. If we say we're walking with someone, then means a couple of things at least. It means we're going to talk to them, yeah? We're going to talk with them. And they're going to talk to us. That means we're going to do some listening. So in a normal human relationship where we say we're walking with someone, then there's some talking and some listening. And so it is with you and I in our relationship with God. There needs to be some talking. Now, question, when you talk to God, I want to ask you this, do you talk to God, do you talk with God, or do you talk at God? There's a difference between them. A lot of people talk at God. They refer to God in their prayers, but they're not talking, they're not communing with God, they're not in fellowship with God, they're merely sending up prayers into the ceiling, up into the air, and with their fingers crossed, hoping it'll be all right. When we're talking, then we know that we're talking with someone, don't we, normally? Now, maybe get someone ring on the phone, we don't know perhaps who we're talking to sometimes initially, but we're talking to someone, we know we're talking to someone. When I'm walking with God, then it needs be, I must know that I'm talking to him. Now for me to know that I'm talking to him, he must be answering me. I must be hearing from him, and he's hearing from me. And the Bible tells us that in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, we ought to pray without ceasing. There ought to be this constant talking with God in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Philippians 4:6. And so there is this talking to God continually in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. If we're really walking with God, as Enoch walked with God, then there's this constant talking, this conversation, as it were, with God. And sometimes we see prayer as some little religious thing. You know, we've got to say our prayers. And, there's a place for that as long as it's in the right context. But much of our praying ought to be just conversational. Or to be talking with God as a person, not as some distant deity out there, but as our God who we can talk with and walk with and be in conversation with him. I think it was said of Roland Hill, a godly man from days gone by. They said you could stand by him sometimes. If you saw him standing in the street in a shop window, you could go over there, and if you stood very quietly and listened, you'd hear him talking. You wonder who he's talking to. He was talking to God. Sometimes if you were talking to him, they'd say, next minute you didn't know whether he was talking to you or whether he was talking to God. He was so used to, as it were, talking with God and being in conversation with God, he'd sometimes kind of chop and change a little bit. And I'm nowhere near that point, but that's how it ought to be. This we're having a conversation with God. It's not just I'm sending words in the air. I'm not just throwing them up there hoping for the best. If I am, then I'm not walking with God in any real sense. So if I'm talking with God, I need a prayer list. I need to be checking. Am I getting some answers to my prayers? Or do I just send them up? What sort of relationship with that? If a husband talked to his wife, just gave her a string of orders or requests and then just walked away, didn't wait to see whether anything was going to happen or not happen. No, we're looking for something meaningful. We're talking in a way that so we are communicating. Amen? And so it ought to be with God. There ought to be this communication with God. We're talking with God and he's talking with us. Now God is going to talk through his word to us. He's going to speak through his word. He'll speak through the Spirit of God. Remember, Elijah heard this still small voice, which was God speaking to his heart, speaking to his spirit. And so if we're going to walk with God, then there needs to be that sort of relationship, this conversational relationship. I'm not talking about in some foolish way. We understand we're talking about God and God is to be feared and all that. But don't forget, the Lord Jesus said, pray, our Father, which art in heaven. Paul said, he's given unto us his spirit whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The word Abba is the idea of daddy. And so we've got this childlike relationship with God if we're walking with Him. That's how it ought to be. We'll just bring anything to Him, whatever it is. Lord, the car won't start. Can you please help us? Whatever it is. Lord, we've got this problem. Can you help us? We need help here. We need help there. Lord, could you bless this person as you're driving down the street? Lord, there's the person who's obviously got got some needs there. Could you maybe help them in some way? Lord, read about that situation where someone was killed in a car accident. Lord, could you just maybe comfort the family and just be in conversation with God? Amen? Walking with God. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The Bible says of Noah in chapter 6, verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. Walking with God, this ongoing relationship. Again, I come back to where I was a moment ago. Enoch at 65 began to walk with God. When did you begin to walk with God? When did you? I'm not asking you now when you started to pray, you know, but when did you walk with God? There was a time in Enoch's life when he walked with God at 65. Something took place. You and I begin our walk with God when we get saved. That's when we start our walk with God. We may be in church for years up to that point, or we may be atheists up to that point, or anything in between, but there comes a time when we get to a place where we begin to walk with God. We get saved. We come to that place where we realize and acknowledge we are sinners and we are repentant. We're not just sorry, oh Lord, I've done wrong. We are repentant. We're saying, God, I have sinned. I have done wrong. I have broken your laws. I have broken your commandments. And I turn from my sin. I turn from all my efforts to please you in my own strength and ability. And I say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I have sinned. I want you to forgive me, forgive my sin. I believe that the Lord Jesus paid the price for my sin on the cross. I believe he was buried and rose again the third day. Please forgive me. Please save me. Make me one of your children. At that point, the Bible says, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, and we begin a walk with God. That's what Noah did. That's what Enoch did. Enoch came to that point where he began to walk with God. Have you come to that point yet? If you haven't come to that point, you don't have a walk with God. The rest of it's not going to be necessarily that helpful to you until you settle that. Come now to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to see some of the elements that make up a walk with God. We don't learn much there in the book of Genesis, merely that Enoch did walk with God, and he obviously had a very close relationship, so close that God, after 300 years of walking with him, said, you can come now and be with me. In Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says there in verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Remember, we said every one of those other men in that chapter, the Bible says, and he died. And he died, but not Enoch. Enoch did not see death, he did not taste death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, Enoch is a little type of what the Bible speaks about, what we use the term rapture. There's coming a day when the Bible says that we which are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together in the clouds in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, I know there's a lot of end time films and movies and books and everything else, and sometimes they cloud the issue a little bit, but nevertheless, the truth of the scriptures is those who are believers, there will come a time in God's economy that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall be raised. And the living believers will be caught up together in the clouds in the air with the Lord. That means those who are left on earth will be like the people left behind in Enoch's day. They'll continue on doing what they were doing. But Enoch was translated, a little type of one day the rapture of the church. But notice he had this testimony that he pleased God. Now, how is it that he pleased God? Well, the next verse tells us how he did it. confirms why he did it. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That tells us some things about a walk with God. It tells us, number one, that it's a walk of faith. It's a walk of trust, trusting in God, a walk of faith. Hebrews 10:38 says, the just shall live by faith. It's a walk of faith. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. We are in a physical world and those things are all real and everything else, but it's not based on the circumstances or what we see whereby we walk with God. We walk by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now the Bible tells us that involves a couple of things. We must believe that God is. Now if we're saved, then obviously we believe that God is. But that he is a rewarder. That God is a rewarder. When I'm talking with God, I'm believing that he is a rewarder. That God wants to bless me. You know, some people, I think, they don't pray because they think, well, why would God want to answer my prayers? Well, that's not faith. There's something wrong with that. Enoch wasn't like that. Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked by faith. Enoch believed that God was a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He didn't say, oh, I'm nobody. You wouldn't want to talk to me, God. God already knows you're nobody. He knows you're less than nothing. You're dust. He knows that about all of us. We don't have to come along and tell God that. He knows that. We're accepted in the Beloved. And so we can come expecting that God wants to bless me. In fact, in Ephesians 3:20 says, God wants to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Imagine that. Yeah, and we creep up to God like, oh God, if it's not too hard, could you do this? If you got time, could you help me here? And yet, God's saying, listen, you need to come to me. You know, I'm a rewarder of those. I want to bless you. I want to bless you exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think. Is that the sort of walk you have with God? Then when you're talking with God, you're anticipating he's going to answer. You're expecting he's going to do something. Or do you come, oh, well, you know, if it be possible, if you've got time, Lord, I hope you can spare time. I'm nobody and there's 6 billion people and you probably haven't got time for me. No. Enoch didn't think that way, guarantee it. He lived by faith. He believed that God is a rewarder. He believed that God is. He believed that God wanted to bless him and he walked with God for 300 years on the basis of that, amen? That's how it ought to be. You know, we kind of get intimidated by the devil or the world or the flesh or something, I don't know, but we don't have this anticipation. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Now, there may be a problem. Maybe we're not diligently seeking him. Maybe we're busy doing all these other things and we're not diligently seeking God. And so we're not walking with God as we ought and we're not getting the blessings that God wants to give us. But by faith, we have this daily conversation, this daily talk with God. God, I'm thankful today that you want to bless me. Lord, I don't know what all those blessings will be, but I'm thankful you're going to bless me. And Lord, while we're about that, I've got this situation here and I've got this question here. And I wonder if you could show me about that. And I'm praying for my family and I'm praying for the other believers. And I'm praying for this and I'm talking. And by the way, take time sometimes to listen. You know, don't just keep talking all the time. You know, you meet some people, you visit them, and they'll talk for about 3/4 of an hour flat out, and you've said, hello, uh-huh, yeah, mm-hmm, yeah, good, uh-huh, uh-huh, and you go. And that's okay, that's just times for that, but they're not listening, so the conversation is just one way, basically. You know, and that's good, we all got those times, but you know, in our walk with God, just take time to listen sometimes. Now, I've sent up a whole lot of requests. Now, I need to stop and see what God's going to do about it. Don't just keep rapid-firing them up, like a machine gun, you know. No, just think about a relationship. I've got a relationship with God. I'm talking with God. Lord, I've got this situation. I know you're a rewarder of those that diligently seek you, and so I'm seeking a blessing, Lord, not just for myself, but, Lord, I'm seeking a blessing, and on it goes, you see. But it's a walk of faith. It's a walk of faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Now, Enoch pleased God because he had this testimony. He walked by faith. He walked trusting in God, believing in God. You think about Noah, the Bible says in verse 7 of Hebrews 11, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Noah walked with God. How? By faith. And so when God said to Noah, "Noah, I want you to build an ark." "Yes, Lord." What sort of an ark? "Well, I want you to make it out of particular wood, and I want you to put pitch on one side, pitch on the other side, to seal it off. It's going to be a worldwide flood, and you're going to have to take on board all the animals, all the different species of animals. You're going to have to put them there, and by the way, you're going to have a certain amount of food for them, and don't have to worry about how they'll come. I'll bring the animals, Noah. They'll take care of that part of it, but you build the ark." And by faith, Noah's responding and doing. And so he's having this conversation with God. I can just see Noah now and say, "Lord, where are we going to get all this wood from? And what sort of thickness do you want it, Lord? How high was that again?" "That's right, yeah, 45 foot high, okay. And how long?" "450 feet long. That's going to be a big boat, Lord." "Yeah, that's right. No, it's got to be a big one because there's a lot of animals to get on there. And we've got to have enough so that after the flood, those animals will be able to go out and multiply and replenish the earth. And so it's going to have to be pretty big. And it's going to have to be a certain shape, Noah, because why is that, Lord?" "Well, because the heavens are going to open up and all the water that's been stored up there and the canopy is going to come down and the floods of the deep are going to be opened up. And it's going to just cover the whole earth, and the whole earth will be covered, even the highest point, by about 15 feet or whatever it was, something like that. And so it's going to be very stormy there for a number of days and a few weeks, and you need a very stable craft." "Oh, okay. And so what was that? What were those measurements again, Lord? Well, you want this wide and this high." Okay. And I can just see Noah talking with God and discussing it with him. And I can see him there maybe one day and say, "Lord, got a bit of a problem. These three boys of mine, they're not as diligent as I'd like them to be, Lord. They're getting a bit lazy. What do you suggest I do to motivate them?" And kind of talking with God. You say, you think he talked with God? I think he did. Remember, he walked with God. When you walk with someone, you're having a conversation, you're sharing with them those things that you're involved in at the time. You say, "Do you do that?" "Well, I try to, and you ought to too." You say, "What if you're just cutting the lawns?" "Well, talk to the Lord about it." I've shared before, I think, when I was cutting lawns and doing that for an income, there were times when two or three times it stood out that the mower wouldn't start. A couple of those because there wasn't enough petrol to start it. But you say, "How come you didn't know that?" Well, the reason being, I just finished the job. Finished the job, went down the next job, tried to start the mower. Wouldn't start. Took it down to the mower shop. He said, "You check the petrol." He said, "Don't need to worry about that. There's plenty in there." He said, "Let's have a look." Had a look. It was empty. He said, "Oh, well." So what had happened, there'd been enough petrol to finish that job, but somehow when I turned it off, it was still running properly. So I naturally assumed it's going to start next time. Why wouldn't it? It was going when I turned it off. But there were other times when I looked, there was petrol there. There's no way that thing would start. And I said, "Lord, I've got a little problem here. This mower won't start. And I'm getting tired pulling on it and it's not working. Lord, I think that you could do something. In fact, I know you could. I'm just praying, Lord, could you please start the mower?" And I went, and it started. You say, "What happened?" "Well, what was different?" Well, I kind of got a little more serious about talking to God about it. I got God involved in the whole thing, you see. You say, do you really believe that God helped you in that?" "Yeah." Why would I believe otherwise? It wasn't working. I couldn't get it started. Nothing changed other than the fact I said, "God, can you please help me? I got this job to do." Started. At least a couple of times that happened. You say, "What was happening?" I believe God was kind of saying to me, "Listen, our relationship's kind of fine, but it's getting a little bit distant here. You're not talking to me about everything now. You're taking it for granted, you know, and you're just... You don't say, "Lord, please start the mower," each time you pull it. You say, "Should you do that?" Well, you work it out yourself, but it's not a bad thing to do that. I'm talking to God about everything. I'm including God in everything. He knows everything already, but I'm including him because he wants to bless me. And so when that mower starts, I get a blessing. I said, Lord, thank you for that. Boy, that was good. That was very good. This time there was petrol and everything else, but it started. You say, did it stop again? No, I just kept going. Just kept going. Did the job, went down the next one. Did it start again next time? Yeah, it started again next time. You see, the thing is that we need to be in this conversational relationship, walking with God, including him in everything in our lives. Not, you know, I go to church on Sunday, the rest of the week I do what I do. No, we ought to have God involved in every area of our life. Doesn't matter what it is. Walking with God, a relationship with God. Have a look in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. I've already read verse 1 from the Quran Bible. 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. But I want to show you something else, I believe, that involves walking with God. In verse 5 of 1 John, verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Now, before we read anything else, that should tell us something. If we're going to walk with God, what? We need to be in the light. Won't work in darkness because God's not in darkness. There's no darkness in him at all. And so John develops that. Verse 6, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. John says, don't say you have fellowship. Don't say you walk with God if you're walking in darkness. In other words, if you have any unconfessed sin in your life. You say, how do you know that? Read the next verse. For if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, to walk in the light is to walk in unhindered fellowship with God. What hinders our fellowship with God? Sin. Sin hinders our fellowship with God. And so we're to walk in the light as he is in the light. Then we have fellowship with him. Then we can do this that I've been talking about, have this talk with God, this conversation with God, including him. But if we don't, if we walk in darkness, there's no fellowship with the Lord. If there's any unconfessed sin in my life or in your life that cuts me off from walking with God, it stops me from walking with God. If I've got unconfessed sin, again in verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so a walk of faith means we must walk in the light. You say, how do you do that? Well, you make sure that you've got no unconfessed sin, number one. But let me show you something else I think is important in Psalm 119. See what David says there in Psalm 119 and verse 130. Again, it comes back to conversation. This is God talking to us effectively. Verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple. The entrance of God's word gives light. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light. In other words, if we walk in obedience to the word of God, if we allow the word of God to enter into our hearts and lives, we will find ourselves walking in light. The entrance of thy word gives light. That's why I so often emphasize the importance of being in the word of God daily, so that you can have daily light. You want to walk in the light, you need it all the time. And so daily you need to be taking in the word of God so that we can walk in the light. See, God will speak to us through his word. Proverbs 6 verse 23 tells us something similar. Proverbs 6 23. We know Psalm 119 also says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Proverbs 6 verse 23 says, for the commandment is a lamp And the law is light, reproofs of instruction in the way of life. So we are to walk in the light. That means to walk in obedience to and in knowledge and in understanding of the word of God. Then we will walk in light. We will not walk in darkness. Because if we hide God's word in our heart, we might not sin against him. And so that will bring light. It will drive the darkness out. The Bible tells us that we're to walk in the light as he is in the light. Have a look in Ephesians chapter 5. Again, speaking of walking in the light. If we're going to walk with God, then it's going to be a walk of faith. It's going to be a walk of trusting what God has said. It's going to be a walk that believes that God wants to bless us, that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." You see, God is light, and him is no darkness at all. And we're children of light now, so we're to walk in the light. He goes on and says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done to them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly," or wisely, "not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." So Paul encourages the believers to walk in light. To walk in light. "The entrance of thy word gives light, thy commandments, the word is a lamp and a light." We are to walk in the word of God. We are to be in the word of God. Again, and I know I do this from time to time, but I encourage you to memorize some scripture. Memorize some scripture. Hide God's word in your heart. There's no substitute for it. I was reading a book recently. I just happened to flick through a little bit of it, and it caught my eye. This fellow, I think I'm going to have to confirm, but I'm pretty sure now, he says he reads through the Bible 27 times a year. Think about it. How many times do you read it through in a year? You say, well, he's an exception. No, he's very disciplined. He reads 9 chapters in the morning, 9 at lunchtime, and 9 in the evening, something like that. Does it every day. And then if one day he doesn't get it, he increases it a little bit, so he makes it up. You say, boy, that takes some work. Yeah. That takes some discipline. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's all true. But it's very important. And so, again, I encourage you to memorize, to read the Word of God. Now, by God's grace, I read through the scriptures once a year, just when I'm alone with the Lord. I read a certain number every day. I read Wednesdays and Saturdays. I normally read 6 pages in the Old Testament and a chapter in Proverbs or Psalms and a chapter in the New Testament. And then I'll read maybe a chapter out of the Old Testament, chapter in Psalms, Proverbs, and then a chapter in the New Testament. I'll do that every other day. And that'll get me through the Bible in a year. And now I'm a little bit ahead of that. I purpose to read the scriptures through at least once for every year I've been saved, once a year for every year I've been saved. And so I'm now kind of a little ahead of that, not much, but just a little bit ahead of that. Some places I've got 3 or 4 years ahead. Proverbs and Psalms, those sort of places. And I'm thinking, when I read about this 27 times a year, I'm not sure that I'm ready for that yet, but I'm thinking I need to do a bit more, amen? To walk in the light, the entrance of God's word gives light. And so when all these isms and wasms of the world come at you, and you start to think, well, you know, maybe that's not true, and yes, science has proved this or that, then you have the light within you that says, no, this is what God says. This is what God says. I'm a child of God. As a child, I believe what God says. Amen? I don't worry about what the professor says. I don't care what the scientist says. I don't care what the theologian says particularly. But I do care what God says. And the entrance of God's word gives light and enables me to trust him. It enables me to believe him. It enables me to walk with him. And I can keep it very simple on that level. And so we're to walk in the light. As John said, not in darkness. Any unconfessed sin will bring darkness and hinder my walk. Notice also in 1 John, and we'll just quickly look at this and then close, in 1 John chapter 2, if we're going to walk with God, then we have someone who we can follow, an example. In 1 John chapter 2, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation, he's the one who substitutes for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected, hereby know we that we're in him. He that saith he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. God says, if you're going to walk in with me, then here's how you can do it. Study the life of the Lord Jesus and then walk as he walked. Go through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. Study how the Lord Jesus walked and then walk as he walked. He ought to walk. John says what? He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as the Lord Jesus walked. Walk as he walked. You think about him. In John chapter 8 verse 29, he said, I do always those things which please the Father. That's how the Lord Jesus walked with God. He walked in a way that was pleasing to God the Father. And so you and I, we look at the Lord Jesus' life and we say, ah, Lord, I need to walk in a way that's pleasing to you, because that's how the Lord Jesus walked. We look at the Lord Jesus in Matthew 28. He said, the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister. He said, I've come to be a servant. And so if we're going to walk with God and walk the way the Lord Jesus did, and he walked with God every moment of every day, right through his whole entire life, and he walked as a servant. And so we say, Lord, I want to walk with you. I want to walk like the Lord Jesus walked. Therefore, you have to help me to be a servant. I want to walk like he would. I want to enjoy that same work. In John chapter 4 and verse 34, he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. The Lord Jesus said, this is how I walk with the Father. I do his will. I do his will. Simple, isn't it? You know, if you keep it simple, it is simple. You get it complicated, then who knows where you finish up. But just keep it simple. The Lord Jesus said, I just live to do the will of the Father. And it makes life simple, and you just walk with God and say, Lord, well, today I'm looking to do this, or maybe looking to visit someone. I've got to do some shopping. I've got this to do, that to do, da-da-da-da. Lord, and I trust it's your will. If it's not, if you'll just show me, because I only want to do your will, because I want to walk with you today, and I want to do your will. Another thing we see in 1 Peter where the Lord Jesus was an example to others. So if I'm going to walk as he walked, then I better make sure I'm an example like the Lord Jesus was. And in 1 Peter and chapter 2, the Bible says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is accepted with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. When someone says something bad about you, what do? I get mad with them. Uh-oh. That's not walking as he walked. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. I'll punch your lights out if you do that again. That's not how he walked. If you want to walk with God, you must walk how he walked. He is an example to us, and he left us an example, and we are to be an example to others. We are to be an example to us that people say, there's a person who walks with God. There's a person who has a rich prayer life. There's a person who is steeped in the Word of God. Yes, a person who has a childlike relationship, they just seem to talk to God about anything. I can't believe it. Imagine that. We're to be that sort of an example. We're to walk with God. Enoch, the Bible says, walked with God. And I trust and pray that the Lord would help you and I to be like Enoch of old and walk with God. Walk with him. Have that relationship with God as a child to the Heavenly Father, believing that he wants to bless us, trusting his word, being obedient to his word, dealing with any sin. Walk in the light as he is in the light, and we'll have fellowship one with another. And we'll be the example that we ought to be to others. Let's pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for Enoch of old who walked with God. Well, there's not a lot said about him in a sense, but Lord, we do know that he walked by faith. We do know that he walked in obedience to the word of God. We do know that he believed that you are a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And we know that he pleased you because of these things. And then we think of the life of the Lord Jesus and how he lived his life, and we ought also so to walk even as he walked. And Lord, what a privilege and a blessing it is that we can know you. Enoch came to that place at the age of 65 where he began to walk with God. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, Lord, that when someone gets saved, it is the start, the beginning of a walk with God right through out into eternity. Lord, how blessed that is, and how blessed we are, those who have tasted of that. Father, maybe someone here this morning who's not saved, they've never come to that place of repentance and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, believing on him, believing that he died on the cross for their sins, believing that he rose again physically and bodily from the grave. They've never come and turned to you and been repentant and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning, Lord, there's someone like that. They were like those first 65 years of Enoch. He wasn't walking with God. But Lord, this morning they'd say, I want to do what Enoch did. I want to get right with God. I want to have my sins forgiven because I know that sins separate me from God. I want to be able to begin a walk with God. I want to be saved. Father, maybe someone's like that this morning. And then Lord, for God's people, Lord, help us to just be refreshed as we think upon these things, Lord. Help us to have that childlikeness, Lord, that we walk with you, Lord, that everything we commit to you, and we have just daily and moment by moment fellowship with you, Lord, including you in all areas of our lives. And Lord, seeing you work things out, Lord, believing that you are a rewarder and you want to bless us. Father, just help us to make any changes, anything we need to do differently, Lord, so that we might enjoy a close walk with you and be an example to others. And Father, if there's someone who needs to be saved, Lord, today would be a blessing, because your word says, now if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Today is the day of salvation. Lord, maybe someone needs to be saved. If that be so, I pray, Lord, that you'd give them the grace that they might believe on the Lord Jesus Christ this day. Just while our eyes are closed and heads bowed, just want to ask a quick question. Do you have a walk with God? Are you walking with God? Are you like Enoch? Can you point to something and say, yes, I haven't had a Methuselah, but I know I'm saved. Or you say, no, I don't know I'm saved. If you're not sure, then let me encourage you to settle that. Make today the start of that walk with God. You say, Pastor, could you pray for me this morning? I want to trust Christ as my Saviour. I want to settle this matter of sin. I know I'm guilty before God, and I want to seek forgiveness from God this morning, asking him to forgive me, believing the Lord Jesus Christ died in my place on the cross and that he rose again, believing what the Word of God says, if I call on the name of the Lord, I shall be saved. So anybody like that, say, Pastor, pray for me this morning. I'm going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm casting all my cares, all my sin, everything upon him, and I'm asking him to save me today. Is anybody at all that I could pray for you? Just slip your hand up. I'm not going to ask you to come out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you if that's you this morning. I'd like to trust Christ as my Saviour. I believe in Him. I know that I need salvation. I believe He's the only way. And Father, we thank You for this time. We praise You for Your goodness. Continue to work out Your will and way. And Lord, as we go from this place, may we walk with You, Lord. May we have that testimony of Enoch of old that he walked with God. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.